wish that the music was playing on the introduction to the video, but it doesn't. I just come right out, start talking, and it's exciting. I'll grant you that, but it's not like hearing the black keys, gold on the ceiling, on the MP3. I hope you know that you can still listen to MP3 files of this show. They are available as well as the video. We give you both options. Take the MP3, put it on your player or whatever you have to do, your phone, and listen to it on the go, or you can watch the videos. Hi everyone, this is Martin Zender. Sorry, no Gold on the Ceiling by the Black Keys. That's only on the audio, but I am still happy to be here. Welcome to Thursday. We're winding down the week talking about subjection to evil government. And initially, it's not a topic people are generally happy with because people like to resist. But in the end, I think, you know, Paul says this is a way of peace. He wants us to live at peace. If at all possible, Paul says, be at peace with all humanity. And the one big reason we can do this is because we know that God's the Savior of all humanity. Another way we can do it is to not fret over bad government and not try to insinuate ourselves into a system that, broadly speaking, is not going to be changed. Now, relatively speaking, I may go against some when I say this, that if you can be in the system, the government system, or if you can try to change laws in a peaceful way, if it doesn't cause you undue stress, if it doesn't take away your peace, then okay, be involved. Change things. It'd be nice for things to be better. You can find a way to get me $1 a gallon gasoline? Go for it. But I don't want it to take away your peace. I don't want you to fret and fume and worry like watching the stock market going up and down and up and down. Today you're wealthy, tomorrow you're a pauper. Same way with the news, up and down and up and down. I used to love to read Reader's Digest because what they did was, instead of following the news stories like a ticker tape, up and down and up and down, they waited till the dust settled. And then you could read Reader's Digest, and they digested, you might say, the main stories, and you got a concise summation of what happened, instead of having to get the false information followed by the true. And I hope you're not living day-to-day by the newscasts, the up and down activities of the human race. Very debilitating mentally, I would think. Well, I know it is because I can't watch it. I pity those poor people having to report fires and ants and people killed. I know people are killed. I don't necessarily want to know about it. Now, we left off here in Romans 3. Very important to note what is the good and the evil of the context. This isn't general good and evil. Because this is what happens. When we get to verse 4, do good and you will be having applause from it, from the administrators, from the government. Do good and you will have applause. Now, the question now rises, but Martin, what if I do good and I'm persecuted by the authorities? Okay? Paul must be assuming that we have a good authority here, because the good authority would give applause to people who do good. And we know that evil authorities don't care whether you do good or ill. So Paul must have lived in a backward era. He didn't know any better. He didn't know how bad things would get, Martin. He didn't know that Obama would be in office. Therefore, we have the right to resist the authority. In other words, Romans 13 is a nice little fable of a day gone by. And now we are wise in ourselves. We are the all-wise adjudicators, and we will make that judgment as to whether a government goes past the line. And as soon as they go past the line, which is arbitrary, it can only be arbitrary, it's very subjective, different of different lines, this becomes a free-for-all then. Romans 13. Is Romans 13 a free-for-all, or is it a direction from our apostle during an era of grace that stands the test of time and is just as applicable today as it was in Paul's day. I say this is a universal truth that is timeless, because who were the political leaders in Paul's day? It's a little guy called Nero. Not a nice man. Look up Nero sometime. Not before bed, though, because you'll have nightmares. Evil government. That was in the political realm. What about the religious realm? We had a little handlebar mustached twerp named Caiaphas, who sentenced the Lord Jesus Christ to death. Nice. Not a great entry on your resume, Caiaphas. So, the government Paul was intimately acquainted with was an evil government, which is consistent with what I told you yesterday, that only an evil government can give you a sphere to exercise grace upon. So in this context, the government has to be evil, or this context makes no sense. And again, the context begins in Romans chapter 12, namely verse 14, bless those who are persecuting you. Persecuting you. There's the context. Is the government persecuting you? Bless them. I know it's hard. I know. I'm not saying I'm an expert at it, because, I mean, there's several branches of the government that can come after you. The IRS. Oops, I didn't say that, did I? IRS. They're not listening, are they? They might be listening. They can come after you. Homeland Security, EPA. Oh, man, they're like the tree Nazis. They can come after you. All right? If you're at McDonald's and you fail to segregate paper from plastic, EPA is after you. If you own a small business, several branches of the government are after you, not the least of which is the EPA and the IRS and other acronyms that are acrimonious. Acrimonious acronyms, that's what the government consists of. The FBI, the CIA, NPR, nothing more acrimonious than National Public Radio. So we're to show grace. And again, so the whole context is an evil government. So the argument just doesn't stand that this is not an evil government. It is. And so now let's go back to the verse we started with. Do good and you will be having applause from it. How does that work with an evil government? This way. Because no matter what government is, if you do good and the good of the context is subjection, let me remind you how that works. I'm running right from Romans 12:31 to Romans 13:1. I'm going to ignore chapter 13. Watch how I do this. Folks, don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. You could be seriously injured attempting what I am about to attempt. I am going to, before your very eyes, read Romans 12:31 so-called and Romans 13:1 so-called. I say so-called because there are no verses or chapters in the original scriptures. So I'm going to run right over the number 13. Watch what happens. Be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. That's how this is supposed to be read. Conquer evil with good. How? Be subject, the good, to the superior authorities, the evil. That's why I say, now, this is the key, this is the Rosetta Stone here. From now on, we know what good and evil is. It's not general good, it's not general evil, it's subjection and insubordination. Those are the good and evil of the context. So with that key in mind, let us proceed. Or let's go back to verse 4. For do good, and you will be having applause from it. What's the good? Subjection. So if you're subject to the superior authority, you'll be having applause from it. And that works in any administration, doesn't it? Subjection. They love subjection. What do you care? This isn't your realm anyway. Just do what they say. They're passing by. The fashion of this world, 1 Corinthians 7, is passing by. The governments of this world are going away. You might as well be nice to them on their way down. It's like somebody going to the gallows. Here's a condemned man shuffling up the 13 steps to the gallows. Why not hand the guy a cigarette? And they do. They give him a smoke before they go. Why not be nice to the guy? He's in a bad way, isn't he? They give the condemned on death row, they give them a nice meal for their last meal before they, you know, zap them with 1,000 volts of electricity. The guy's having a bad day. Let's give him pork chops and applesauce. Let's give him some pork chops and applesauce. Yeah, that's nice. Because he's about to be fried. It's terrible. So the governments are on their way to the gallows. They're on their way to the electric chair. All right, Obama is on the way to the gallows, epically speaking, eonially speaking. The whole government is going down. So you got to pity him. That's what I want you to do. I want you to feel sorry for him. They're on the way to their death, their certain death. The fashion of this world is passing by. And 1 Corinthians also, the chief men of this eon are being discarded. Oh, wow, that's a fantastic verse. Where is that? Is that 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Chief men of this eon are being discarded. I wish I had it. Wait a minute. Wait. Chief men of this eon. Where is it? I think it's in chapter 2. Oh, yeah. Wisdom are we... I think this is going to lead me to it. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Yet wisdom are we speaking among the mature... this is what I'm doing right now. I'm speaking wisdom among the mature. I'm telling you something that's going to spare you pain. It's going to spare you sorrow, spare you suffering. But you can only hear this if you're mature. You know, if you just can't stand your lot and, you know, you're pouting and kicking, then this might not be too good news for you. Wisdom not of this eon, neither of the chief men of this eon. All the political leaders, they're chief men of this eon, and women. It's probably the chief humans of this eon. Humans of this eon, who are being discarded. There it is. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 2. The chief men of this eon are being discarded. Don't you feel sorry for them? They're being discarded. Like a fish bone. Like a banana peel. So I recommend being nice to them because it's not going to be good times for them. So just let them feel important. They make their stupid laws. They charge you $4 or $5 a gallon for gas because they can't manage natural resources. We have to say the three-toed sloth or the eight-toed green tree frog so that, you know, we can pay $5 a gallon instead of one. Whatever. It's stupid. Of course it's stupid. But let them have their crazy day. Right? The government wants to charge $35 for a screwdriver, $100. Let them do it. They're being discarded. Just give them a cookie on their way out. And don't you be troubled by it. All right, we're going to start reading. We're going to go finish Romans 13 here. And A. Enoch, in his Concordant Commentary, has some really excellent comments, which is why his book was named The Commentary. Really a stroke of genius there, marketing genius, I think. So I'm going to go through that with you on Friday. And then next week, I really think next week's going to be the last week of the series of The Secrets in Daniel, all right? Because that'll give me a nice even 50, great number, jubilee, right? And everybody's going to be jubilant that I'm finally done here, and we'll be starting the book of Revelation.